Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to the Nerd... Sorry about that. Welcome to the Nerdcast, your weekly look at the potential field of 64. Now, here's the man that puts the want in quantitative analysis, Mark Etheridge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Nerdcast. Let's pick some teams, shall we? We're going to go 1 through 64, at-larges, automatics, hosts, top eights, bubble teams, all of that good stuff that you love this time of year. And boy, isn't it a great time of year. You got conference races. You've got races to see who's going to be eligible in Florida's case for an at-large bid. You've got teams that are trying to help their position. And we're going to go through all of that glorious stuff. So I'm Mark Etheridge. I'm here with Aaron Fitt and Kendall Rogers. And guys, we've had some movement at the top of the field here. You know, the last few weeks it's been A&M. Before that, mm-hmm. It was Arkansas, and they both lost series last weekend. Does that change anything for us at the top? Let's get into it, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think we're inclined to think like, you know, we still have A&M ahead of Kentucky in the rankings and things like that. But I mean, Kentucky mm-hmm. now, guys, is 17-5 against Q1.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got six more wins in Q1 than A&M. They've got five more Q1 wins than Arkansas. They've got four more than Clemson. That's just a really loud number. You know, Tennessee's our number one team in our rankings, but Tennessee just 17 wins against Q1 and Q2. So Kentucky has as many wins against Q1 as the Vols do against both quads.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Kentucky's also two games ahead of A&M in the standings, one game ahead of Arkansas. I know that this you know, schedules are unbalanced, but I mean, they did just take a head-to-head from Arkansas, so and they have all those metrics. And I mean, those two, three teams are 1-2-3 in the RPI, so that's not really a separator. The separator is that Q1 record for Kentucky and the fact that they're in first place. And so, yeah, it's, you know, I think we're just inclined to give A&M and Arkansas the benefit of the doubt because of their pedigree, but I don't know that that's really warranted anymore. I mean, at this point, like, there's only 2 weeks left. You kind of are who you know, what your record says, aren't you?
Yeah, we're getting to my time of the year because early feels, you're kind of looking at projecting, and you guys are way better at that than I am. However, now we're looking at resume, and that's where I think, you know, I can add some insight to this situation. And right now, Kentucky they have the best resume in the country. Stop. That's it. They have the best resume. Now, will they after a couple more weeks? I mean, they still play Florida. They still play Vanderbilt. Teams that they should beat, they will be favored to beat, but also teams that have a lot to play for, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I would favor them to win the series at Florida, even though Florida's, you know, one game over 500. It's still a road series in the SEC against a team that has a lot of talent.
Fair enough.
The other thing I go back to with UK real quick is look at their road record, 14-4 on the road.
That's wild.
And look at the other contenders. I mean, Tennessee 7-5, A&M 8-6, Arkansas 6-6, Clemson 9-4, which is pretty good, but it's not 14-4.
Yeah. Kentucky has the best resume, and if we feel like that will be rewarded, then they're the number one overall seed.
Yeah, because right now, just looking at the conference standings, A&M's three games back of Kentucky, right?
A&M.
No, they're two games back.
Yeah, two games back, right.
So A&M has Ole Miss on the road this weekend and Arkansas at home.
Yeah.
So we can – assuming probably a series win over Arkansas is tough.
Mm-hmm.
But so 3-3 is probably your worst-case scenario. I'm probably leaning 4-2 in those two series with Arkansas, only because Arkansas is at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that enough to catch Kentucky? I don't know if it is.
I don't think so. They're two games back.
Yeah.
Kentucky feels like a 3-3 type finish for me, which gets them to
agreed
21.
I would not be shocked actually if they sweat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, they could.
Vandy's struggling right now, guys, and we'll get to that when we talk about bubble, because that's where they are at this point. The other thing is, I do feel like Kentucky has just kind of got that mojo. Things are just kind of going their way. They believe it's a confident team. I think they'll finish strong. Florida's going to have their hands full. Florida really needs that series, but they're drawing Kentucky. Yeah, you know, I look at it two ways. One, Kentucky could be so high off that huge series win over Arkansas that there's a little bit of a dip. On the other side, they're so playing so confident. They got to believe maybe they just roll on through here and finish this thing, you know, with a bang. So, anyway, regardless, I think Kentucky's our number one team. And I'll add them to the worksheet, Kendall, for those of watching online.
Oh, yeah.
Share that, and I'll
move
Kentucky into absolutely the top spot.
You know, the only thing I would say,
mm-hmm,
and this is – I mean, the metrics do not add up to Tennessee being number one overall. But I will say Tennessee has one less conference series loss, and they won the head-to-head against Kentucky. They're one game back of first place in the SEC. Tennessee finishes at Vanderbilt and South Carolina at home. I think their worst case scenario and with that remaining record is 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's the way Vandy's playing right now. You'd favor Tennessee to win even in Nashville. And then South Carolina, certainly at home, you got to feel like
– I just don't think South Carolina matches up well against Tennessee at all in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that could be a sweep.
They could
and
be.
If they could sweep South Carolina, I mean, they might at worst tie for the league, and they would have won the head-to-head at Kentucky.
Right.
The question is, I mean, they're an 8 RPI right now. Kentucky's mm-hmm 2.
Yeah, I think it's too soon for Tennessee at this point.
Okay. I'm good with that.
So – who's next? I mean, we can talk Tennessee, but I mean, it's Arkansas, A&M, Clemson. Those are the next group for me. How do you break that tie?
I think I would go A&M, Clemson, and one of the in that order, then Arkansas after, because I think A&M wins the head to head against Arkansas, and A&M already has a higher RPI, and they're very comparable metrics across the board.
Okay, but what do you do with the balls? I mean, we were just talking about them for number one overall. Where do they fit in that next group?
I mean, maybe – I mean, so here's the thing. If we think A&M and Arkansas are pretty much the same, why don't we move Tennessee ahead of both of those teams since they're basically essentially squared up, if we think they're squared up?
I don't know if I follow that logic.
I still think A&M's the best team. And honestly, they don't have the best resume, but I think they're the best team in the country, and we'll find out later, of course. But I like, but I can't, you know, I can't validate that with resume. So it's
I mean, we save resume, but I mean, they are with the metrics that the committee uses are number one in the country.
They are number one in RPI. I don't know. I don't know what to do with Tennessee in this because, again, they're number one in our top 25, but they're number 8 in the RPI. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think their resume is quite strong. But
and if they're going to finish strong, as Kendall hinted earlier, then they're only going to ascend.
So here is what I would throw into the ring. Here is something to consider. Is in the KPI, which is a metric that the committee will be using on a worksheet. Our hope is that DSR will be one of those things in the near future, but for now, it's the KPI. Kentucky's 1, A&M is 2, Tennessee's 3, Clemson is 4, and Arkansas is 5. North Carolina, by the way, it's 6.
I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah.
So
Kentucky, A&M, Tennessee, Clemson, Arkansas, and the KPI in the top 5.
I'm going to pull up for the due diligence here. I'm curious what the DSR says as well right now at the top.
Yeah.
It's A&M, Tennessee, Kentucky.
Interesting.
North Carolina, Arkansas, Clemson. That is interesting.
So either way, I think this is solving an equation for us. Like, I think Tennessee should probably be in the top three because these two metrics, the KPI and the DSR, both have Tennessee in the top three.
Yeah. But, you know, again, 8 in RPI. But, I mean, I guess that's because they have all those Q4 games, 14-1 Q4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to solve itself.
They also played a lot of home games. I mean, their entire non-conference schedule was neutral or home.
Yeah, I mean, they play RPI 27 on the road this weekend and RPI 13 at home next weekend. Their RPI is probably going up a few notches.
Assuming they win, yep.
Yeah.
So for me, it's either A&M or Tennessee next.
I think A&M, because of the current advantage they have in the RPI, probably still makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and if they do what I think they're going to do, they're going to win 20 SEC games.
Yeah. I mean, that 4-2 is the most likely scenario.
I think you got to dump Clemson in here. I just don't think they put 4 SEC teams in before they even get to the Clemson.
Yeah, I would agree.
I can buy that.
Clemson and UNC, they're tied atop the ACC at the moment.
And then Arkansas 5?
Yes. Yeah.
And then North Carolina 6?
I think so.
North Carolina, by the way, I think we talk about this every single week, but like their resume is like actually very good, and like it just doesn't feel like they're that kind of team. I don't know. It's very strange.
They've just lost some high-end series, but they haven't gotten swept, and they win a lot of midweeks, and they sweep other people in conference.
Who they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That stretch where they swept Georgia Tech and Wake Forest looks very big right now.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think talent-wise, I think they stack right up in this group. I mean, I really like their team a lot.
To back up what we just said, they're 21-0 against quad 3 and 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of similar to, you know, A&M's
not losing those bad teams.
It's like A&M. They're 22-0 against, you know, those teams. I mean, Arkansas, you know, 22-0, all kind of the same.
Yeah. Losing those games really hurts. I mean, the prime example of that is Texas. Texas is, you know, we'll talk about them later, but Texas is second in the Big 12 and they're 51 in the RPI because of Q4 losses.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's our top six. I mean, Florida State and East Carolina are my next two. You guys got anybody else you want to talk about?
Nope. Pretty confident in that one.
And in what order?
I'll throw Indiana State in that mix too. I think that they're back to back with ECU right now and RPI. They're both kind of dominating mid-major league. I still probably lean ECU, but I would have Indiana State in that discussion.
So Florida State 7, East Carolina or Indiana State would be next.
I think so.
I would go with ECU.
Yeah. 5-1.
Indiana State has nothing in their non-conference resume that rivals a series win over North Carolina, which is what ECU has.
Yeah, and we've talked before about their good work in the midweek stuff too.
Yeah.
Number 12 non-conference strength of schedule for the Pirates.
So that gets us through 9. So the next group of teams I'd want to talk about would be Oklahoma, Oregon State,
South Carolina.
And then you got a bunch of SEC teams, Mississippi State, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Maybe even Georgia. And then some ACC teams with Duke and Virginia. I think Wake needs to get over 500 in conference, and then we can talk about them. But that would be my next group. If you want to throw UCSB in there, you know, just for, you know, thoroughness, maybe a little early for them, but that's for me the next group. So
we had UCSB as a top 16 last week.
Right. And I just think me not number 10.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. So, this would be the next group, Oklahoma,
And yeah, so last week we had West. Oregon State at 9, South Carolina at 10. South Carolina hasn't really done anything to lose lose their placing.
Yeah, I had 17 hosts when I did this earlier, which is not going to work. So somebody's going to be ticked. So that to me is the next group in some order. This is not the order. It's just how I found them. But I think when you look at it now, I mean, Oklahoma, assuming they win the Big 12, that might matter. You'd have a conference champion.
Oklahoma would definitely be in for me.
Assuming they finish strong, I think they'd have a good shot to be in this next group as well.
Oregon State and Oklahoma are two teams I feel really confident about. Oklahoma, by the way, has a three-game lead on the conference standings in the Big 12.
Yeah, they were number 10 for me when I did this earlier.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah, 17 RPI.
Okay.
Not 9-5 record against Q1. Actually pretty good. Non-conference teams of schedule 15, 12-4 on the road for the Sooners.
Yep.
So then looking at it next, I mean, Oregon State, the problem I got with them is they're 3-3 quad one. And you add in the quad two, and it goes to 7-9, which is compare to these other teams, we're looking at here.
Also, they're 2.5 games back still in the Pac-12, like in third place. It doesn't really feel like a
right.
I mean, I don't know, guys.
It's just and that's why I kind of prefaced this when I brought them up. It's how do you feel they're going to finish? Because if they finish strong, that gives you a West Coast, a second West Coast host with Santa Barbara, which I'm sure everyone would love. But have they earned it, or will they earn it by Memorial Day? And that's where I need help from you guys. So how do you think Oregon State's going to finish?
So they've got UCLA at home, which you would UCLA did just win a series, I think, this weekend. But I think you would expect the Beavers to at least win that series, and really it would behoove them to sweep it. UCLA still 197 in the RPI. Incredible. And then they're at Arizona.
Tough.
Which certainly, not an easy place to go play, and Arizona's good, and that's the first place team, but,
that could be for first place.
It could be.
Depending on what Arizona does this weekend, right?
I mean, I almost wonder, Arizona, so they're at Utah and then versus Oregon State, so that's also not a real easy road. Yeah, but I mean, Arizona's 33 in the RPI, but they are again 2.5 games up on OSU in the standings. I mean, should they be like
in the mid tier? 2-7 quad one isn't great, but if you expand it to quad two, they're 13-10.
I thought they're 5-7 Q1. No,
well, this was Monday morning on D1Baseball.com.
Gotcha. Yeah, guys, I don't know. I think probably let's wait for a second on the
Pac-12.
The Pac-12.
So with these other clubs, and Aaron, this is more for you. I know you've been really high on Duke and like their talent. I'm trying to get behind the resume part of this deal, and the non-conference strength of schedule at 265 gives me pause. But I think everything else I'm okay with. 14-10 in the league, 14-11 against the first two quads. 10-9 versus quad one. I mean, it's solid, right? And if they finish strong, I think they get one of these 16.
They've got at Georgia Tech and versus North Carolina. So also, also not an easy road here. NC State would be a team that I would say is competing for one of these spots also, 13-10 in the league. They are 19 in the RPI, so three spots, I think, better than Duke right now. They have a head-to-head series win against Duke. Their remaining schedule also tough at Virginia versus Wake Forest. So no real help there.
So not yet on either of those. So let's talk SEC. Yeah. So yep. Mississippi State is a team, maybe a little early for them, but they are 14-10 in the conference. They also still get to host Missouri for the final weekend, so you have to like their chances to at least get two in that one. They go to Arkansas this weekend, and I don't know. Mississippi State's probably playing better than Arkansas right now, but it's in Fayetteville, and I'm not picking against the Hogs there.
Right.
So, yeah, so I do think that they're going to end up, you know, if they're 14 and 10, 17 is probably the least wins they're going to have, you know, if they only get two against Missouri and get one. And the problem before has been RPI. Well, right now they're at 18. They go to Arkansas, just play in those games. You know, just don't get swept. It's going to help you. And then you collect wins on top of that against Missouri. I kind of like their spot. Maybe not at 11, but I do like Mississippi State as one of these 16 teams that are going to host.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think for me, the next teams in some order, you're probably looking at Virginia, South Carolina, maybe Mississippi State. But what about Georgia here now? That's another team to talk about. Top five RPI.
Yeah. The thing with Georgia, they're 13-11 in the league. So they're just a step back, you know, from Mississippi State. And they did lose the head-to-head to Mississippi State in Starkville.
That's true. Yeah.
I do think that Georgia with, you know, they've got pretty tough. I mean, they go to South Carolina. I mean, heck, does whoever wins that series end up hosting and the other one not, right? Because it's going to be close. And then Georgia finishes the year with Florida, who's probably playing for their life, you know, at that point. So not very easy either.
Right.
So
it feels like a, you know, 3-3 finish there, probably about right. But they could even lose both the series, but 3-3 would only get them to 16-14 in the league, which, you know,
if
maybe
you're 16-14, you better have a great RPI, which lo and behold,
they do. But yeah, so that's going to be interesting, them versus like a Mississippi State, especially if Mississippi State continues to climb in the RPI.
Yeah. I would have Mississippi State ahead of Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that head to head too. Yeah.
Right. And they're head in the conference as well.
I'm with you. So, back to Virginia, I mentioned I would have ahead of Duke and NC State in the ACC pecking order right now, just because it feels like they're just positioned well, 14-10 in the conference with a 12 RPI. You know, just kind of lining the weeds.
I think maybe I'm good with that.
And they're home the next two weekends against NC State and Virginia Tech. So again, those are like not pushover series, but they're both at home.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So Virginia at 11. So I think maybe we look at an SEC team next. Yeah. Do you like South Carolina the best?
I think
so. Mississippi State, South Carolina.
I think South Carolina.
So the only hang up I've got with South Carolina is they finish. I mean, we talked about playing Georgia. They also finish at Tennessee. And as Kendall mentioned, that's going to be a very challenging series.
Don't like their chances that weekend.
So maybe, you know, they are what, 13-11? Let me see. Yep. They're 13-11. So say they go 3-3. You know, they beat Georgia, they lose to Tennessee. They're 16-14. RPI is mid teens.
Yeah.
It's gonna be bubble. It's gonna be close.
It's kind of a similar situation to Georgia, except they're eight spots behind Georgia in the RPI right now.
Yeah, and Georgia doesn't have to go to Knoxville. They've already made that trip.
That's true. Although Georgia is playing at South Carolina, so there's the head-to-head advantage for the Gamecocks there. So
if I got to play one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I'm picking.
That's true. Interesting.
I honestly think Mississippi State would be my next team here.
I would have them as the top of the SEC teams that are left.
Okay.
Okay. And then we're looking at, do you like Santa Barbara here, or do you want to go with ACC, SEC? Because I think Oregon State, if they're there, they're going to be last.
Yeah. I agree at this point. Santa Barbara currently 17-4. They are alone in first place now, 16th in the RPI.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have no way to – well, Granted, the needs report definitely changes from day to day, but right now it says they cannot finish in the top 16.
Right.
They finish with RPIs 282, 87, and 263. Basically, they better not slip up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to hurt them. I mean, that's the thing is – so.
But their record's going to be gaudy. They're going to have probably a 30 – they're going to be probably around 40 to 41 and 13, 14, something like that.
And win that league.
Yeah.
So they need to win 7 or 8 of their last 11 just to stay in the top 32, which tells you that they're probably going to finish in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Can I just go ahead and make a comment, though? Like, the West Coast is not getting totally shut out of regional hosts.
No, totally agree.
Well, so I think one of these
either is OSU or UCSB is definitely going to be a top 16. Assuming Oregon State continues. I mean, Oregon State loses their last series. Yeah, I mean, they won't be, but.
Yeah, if there's a bubble candidate, I would definitely agree with you. You know, there have been years when there haven't been, and they did get shut out. But I think we're going to have at least one candidate.
Hmm.
So I kind of like Duke next. Tell me why I'm wrong. Is it just the RPI?
Yeah, I mean, Duke. The one thing about Duke versus these contenders is they have, let's see,
10 quad one wins.
Yeah, they had. That's what I was looking at. They have the most. I was making sure they actually had the most quad wins. Yeah, they have the most quad one wins of any of these teams, including Georgia, by the way, who's a 17 spots higher in the RPI.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I that makes sense.
Go Duke.
Am I crazy for actually liking the current order of that Duke and Georgia?
I think I'm good with that.
And go Georgia 14.
Yeah, I mean the thing about UGA is like, I mean, what's the point of RPI if the number 5 RPI team's not hosting?
Yeah.
Yep.
Assuming they have a winning conference record, which,
correct. Like, yeah.
We're projecting them to have. Yeah. So then it comes down to two spots, and I'm with you guys on these two. So it's South Carolina, it's Santa Barbara, it's Oregon State, it's NC State. I don't think there's anyone else unless you feel like Wake's going to make a run.
I don't really trust NC State with all their injuries at Virginia and then Wake Forest.
Yeah, that's hard.
I kind of feel like they're going to have to earn. I mean, that's tough.
Which certainly if they do win, want to say they win one of those series, 3-3 finish gets them to 16-13. You got a shot, but
yeah, ACC tournament's going to mean something to them, even though they're in pool play.
Yep.
Which NC State is known to go on a run on those things.
Yeah.
So I say South Carolina, UCSB, Oregon State for two spots.
Yeah.
We did have, just looking back at last week real quick, just so we don't forget about somebody, we did have Oklahoma State as a host last week. Oklahoma State lost a series of Texas over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're down to 24 in the RPI. And the problem for OSU, for those listening, is that they're now 3 games behind Oklahoma. That's just a pretty sizable difference. They're not out of it by any means. They're 24 in the RPI, and they finished with Texas Tech at home and then at Houston. And of course there's the Big 12 tournament. So there's still a pathway there for the Pokes, but they're going to have to go on a run here the last couple of weeks and then in Arlington.
So yeah, I still think probably the Gamecocks and then one of these other two. I mean, we're kind of thinking 3-3 for finishes for both South Carolina and Georgia is what we're thinking, right? Like Gamecocks win 2 out of 3 against Georgia, but Georgia wins 2 out of 3 against Florida. Gamecocks lose 2 out of 3 to Tennessee. That's kind of what we're projecting.
Yeah. Mark, can I throw something else at you?
What's that?
Okay, Dallas Baptist is at 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
They're 1 game out of first place. They're 6-1 against Q1, and they're 15-9 against Q1 and Q2 combo. I mean, I feel like they're squarely in the mix now too, especially if they can find a way to win that regular season championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. The metrics are good. They certainly played a challenging schedule, which certainly is in their favor. It's just in that league, if you're,
I think they're behind these teams. Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're 20, they're definitely in the mix. I mean,
you need to be, you know, in the mid teens. I think
and you need to win your league for sure, which you know they still may, but they're still not in first place.
Yep.
I think I lean Gauchos 15. Because at least they have now a clear edge in their conference, even if they do drop it to around 20 or into the 20s.
Yeah, they're going to win that league. And I think, I mean, especially when you're, let's be honest, especially when you're a committee that's probably trying to find someone out west.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at that league and say, oh, well, their RPI is 25 because their league is absolute trash. The other thing, too, that I like about UCSB is, you know, I think we, I can't remember if it was this pod or our regular pod, but I love the fact that they actually in non-conference, even though they lost the series, like went across the country and played Campbell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like how many programs, you know, like that go literally from coast to play somebody like that. I just like those things. And I think the committee will too.
So I'm good with that. So Santa Barbara at 15, and then we've got one more spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaning South Carolina here based on what we talked about with Oregon State, but tell me if you disagree.
So, I mean, Beavers again, 15 RPI. It's kind of, you know, just 14-9 in the league is again an eyesore given the league that they're in. It's not the SEC. And there's other metrics we talked about, also an eyesore. I think playing UCLA is not going to help. At home, it's not going to help Oregon State in the RPI. They need to win out to stay in the top 16, according to Boyd's.
They're not going to win out.
No. So probably drop, you know, probably be around 20-ish, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the tournament where that can make
up some ground. Yeah. But, yeah, it feels like the math just doesn't – the combination of things, I mean, it's just – it almost feels like we're trying to force it with them. They've got the RPI going for them, and that's really it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're famous. But other than that, it's like it's a bad Q1. It's not a great Q1 and Q2. They're not a great in their league.
They're third place.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's just go South Carolina and move forward here.
Okay. All right. So that is our – let's see. That is our 16 hosts: Kentucky, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Clemson, Arkansas, North Carolina, Florida State, East Carolina. That's your top eight. Then the next eight teams are Indiana State, Oklahoma, Virginia, Mississippi State, Duke, Georgia, UCSB, and South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. So, Kendall, did you have any other thoughts? I know you were kind of still hemming and hawing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the only thing I'll say about Oregon State is like we and every other human poll has them as a top 10 team or a top 12 team right now. It'd be very odd for the committee to leave them out as a top 16 host under those parameters. I don't know. I keep going back to that a little bit.
Well,
is there a precedent on that where there's a team that's a top 12, top 10 team that doesn't host?
Yeah, sure. And I do think that if you look at resume versus, you know, the eye test, which there should be a place for both, right? But if you do that, you have a hard time justifying Oregon State.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you know, in a week or two, that could change. Sure. But
then again, I will say, I guess, kind of flip-flopping a little bit here, it does feel like, you know, South Carolina – is kind of a borderline case, you know, as the and if so is Oregon State, then, you know, and their RPIs are comparable. I mean, do you default to having one PAC team instead of like this, what would it be, a seventh SEC team? I mean, I think maybe in that case, maybe that does make sense. Give Oregon State some benefit of the doubt to finish strong here.
Well, it depends on who's the loudest voice in the room.
And that's certainly true.
The one thing about South Carolina is if they win the series over Georgia, that solves that issue.
Right.
And don't get swept in Knoxville.
Yeah.
But even then, Yeah, even then, that's only 16-14, right? Like, that's, you know, not sweeping Missouri was a little bit of a setback for South Carolina.
So let me ask you this. What is more difficult, going 16-14 in the SEC or going third place in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, the Beavers need to finish better than third place, I think, in the Pac. They're only, what, a half game behind Oregon State?
Yeah, and UCLA may take care of that for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's an opportunity there. And then finishing at Arizona, though, that to me is their opportunity. If they win that series, then all bets are off. They'll enter the conference tournament as one of our 16. Mm-hmm. I don't have any doubt.
Okay. So, Kendall, what do you think? Beavers or Gamecocks, make a pick.
I mean, I would lean probably OSU, and if South Carolina wins the Georgia series, flip, like, put South Carolina back in. That would be my take, at least. I mean, how many ACC hosts do we have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, yeah. Virginia, and Duke.
I mean, the other option would be to put South Carolina in over a Duke.
Yeah, I don't
think they're nine spots higher in the RPI.
Right.
I don't know. I would lean Oregon State over South Carolina today.
Okay. And it sounds like you do as well, right?
I'm just a flip-flopper on this one. I can't decide what I think.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I kind of feel like I feel like South Carolina is behind OSU today for me. But, I mean, again, they can fix that issue this weekend, at least the Georgia versus South Carolina issue this weekend.
I kind of think at this point, I don't know. I mean, what do we really like about the Oregon State resume? I mean, it's
– that they're in the Pac-12 and they're ranked high.
Yeah. I mean, they are 36-12. So, I mean, like, you know, they have had a good year. They won a lot of games. It's just that 9 of their 12 losses are in conference. And their metrics, you know, they're lacking in high-end wins. I mean, 3-6 Q1 is just hard to hide.
Well, it's hurt them, too, that, like, Texas Tech hasn't had the year that, you know, they thought when they played them in the Kubota Classic. They lost a narrow game in Arkansas, and they beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's good, but it's not a, you know, top-10 RPI team. And then for whatever reason, they played North Dakota State in a four-game series.
I mean, for me, it's the – Quad 1 and 2, which are the teams you're going to beat in a regional. They're 7-9. Meanwhile, South Carolina's 15-13.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, sound like, Mark, you feel pretty strongly for Gamecocks here.
I do.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Let's stick with South Carolina.
Okay.
So, Oregon State and Oklahoma State would be out from last week. Georgia is in. What's the other change? Mississippi State is in. That's another change, right?
Yeah, for Oregon State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State and Oregon State are out.
Yep. There you have it.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms. then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So let's flip over and do some automatic talk. All right. So part two of this show, we'll go through the automatic bids. Remember, this is not as if the field is picked based on today's standards or standings. We are going to project. So while some of this is kind of decided, some of it is not. Right. So with that, we'll start with the American East.
The America East remains Bryant's. They are they did not have a great weekend, but there's still two games ahead of two games up in the standings in first place. They lost series to NJIT this past weekend. I believe our Shotgun Spratling was there for part of that series. Yep. But they still lead UMBC by three games. So we'll stick with Bryant.
Yeah.
Okay.
UMBC, by the way, did sweep Chris Gennaro's Maine Black Bears over the weekend. Mm.
Just had to get that one in, didn't you?
I had to. Sorry, Chris.
The East Carolina Athletic Conference is no change. One bid league. It's the Pirates. Gosh, there's no other team in that league.
Look at those RPIs in that league. Oof.
No other team in that league inside the top 100 is just a tough scene there. It's amazing that ECU is – I mean, it's amazing that ECU is able to hang around there at number 8 or 9 in the RPI when no one else in their league is in the top 100. It's incredible.
The way you said that just cracks me up. It's a tough scene over there.
A-10.
Billy's, baby.
Still the Billy's. Five winners of five in a row. 13-5 in the league, a half game ahead of Dayton. One bid league. ACC. We've got five teams already in as hosts: Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia, and Duke. NC State obviously in.
Is there an at large team with less meat on the bone than Virginia Tech?
Where's the beef? Many people are asking. 5-11 against Q1. They're 13-11 in the league, which is kind of propping them up.
Interesting. But
they swept Ohio this past weekend, which didn't do much for them.
251 NCSOS.
Yeah. So it's one of those where, again, they've lost four straight ACC series. They were swept by Wake at home, and then they lost 2 out of 3 at Georgia Tech, 2 out of 3 to Duke, 2 out of 3 at UNC. So they've really, you know, ran into some adversity. They're good. Their series wins in the league are sweep of Boston College, 2 out of 3 at Louisville, sweep of Notre Dame. There's not much meat there, but the fact is they're still 13-11 in the league with a 38 RPI. I suspect they're still going to be in here. You got Miami at home this weekend. That's a get right opportunity. And then at Virginia. So call it a 3-3 finish, gets them to 16-14. Probably is enough there.
Yeah. Georgia Tech is the one I'm really interested to kind of get your take on. 12-12, 46 RPI. They played much better as of late. I mean, they lost the Clemson series, but before that had won, what, two or three straight series.
Yeah.
But they have Duke at home this weekend and at Florida State at 12-12. They have a chance to have a not-so-great conference record.
Yeah, it's eight games left. The Needs Report says they can finish in the top 32 if they win six of them, top 45 if they win four of them. So 4 out of 8, I think that's reasonable. They'll probably finish in the 40s, most likely. If they finish strong, then they could do better than that. I do like the fact that they're 12-12 in the league now.
Yeah.
Even after going to Clemson, you know, not getting swept was huge for them. So, yeah, I think three and
probably
three
status quo in the ACC.
Yeah, status quo.
What about Louisville?
Louisville's the other one to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, they're certainly making a run. They're 13-11 in the conference.
Yeah. 57 RPI.
Yeah.
And this is they're up 17 spots in the RPI from last week, by the way. Mm-hmm. And this is also the team that is the biggest delta between their DSR and their RPI. They're 31 spots better in DSR, tied with Iowa for most of any team. That's a number 25 DSR ranking, for what that's worth. Where do you have KPI handy? Where are they there?
41 in the KPI.
So split the difference there.
Yeah, I mean, so looking at Louisville's final two weekends, they're 13-11 in the league. They have Notre Dame at home. Let's assume they win that series to get to 15-12. And then they're at Vanderbilt midweek, and then at North Carolina this coming weekend.
Yeah.
They can finish with a pretty good league record.
Yeah.
Or decent, at least.
Yeah, I think they're in the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a – you know, again, a classic case of maybe a 3-3 projected finish, maybe 4-2. I do think Notre Dame is sweepable, although they've been frisky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, gets them to at least 16-14, maybe 17-13.
Worth mentioning as we're kind of parsing these ACC teams apart, they did lose a home series to Virginia Tech. Granted, yep, it was the opening weekend of conference play, but we do have that data point.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's the order I would have them in, right? At this point, it's Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Louisville.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, interesting. Louisville had not really been on the radar for a while.
Here they come.
Here they are. Okay. We'll add them to the sheet here. Let's move on to the ace son.
Yeah, it's still Austin Peay for me.
Yeah, our Joe Healy was saying yesterday on our podcast that Austin Peay's hitting .369 in conference.
Yeah, it's...
And by the way, for you Austin Peay fans out there, Walter Villa has a Golden Spike spotlight on Lyle Miller Green on the site this week, so check that out.
It's a fascinating story, too. Born in Siberia and adopted. I think his born name was Oleg. Yeah.
Did not know that, actually.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I'll have to go read it.
Really good piece. Yeah, Austin Peay. Yep, Big 12.
Yep. So there's Oklahoma as the projected automatic. Mm-hmm. And then there's Oak State.
Texas.
And West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia is now 15-9 in the league, 40 RPI. So they're in good shape.
And Texas may even be a 2 seed now the way they're playing.
Yeah, Texas is a classic example of where the RPI is just off. It's because of their quad four. They've got 6 quad four losses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know that. I mean, you know, I think that's part of who they are. It actually depends on where you look. This other thing says, I think they have 8 quad four, 10-8.
Ten and eight quad fours. Yeah.
Like, that's not great, you know, and like that should count. Those are, you know, again, I don't like when teams get penalized because they win a few games against teams at the bottom. But if you have 8 quad four losses, that's not good.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you there. I mean, they may be a 3. You know, we'll look and see where this lands. But
it is worth mentioning when you look at Texas, despite some ugly midweek losses. Texas has a series win over the WCC champion, soon to be, and they swept and did not allow a run in 3 games against the team right behind UCSB in the Big West, probably the hottest team in the Big West right now, in Cal Poly.
How about that?
So I don't know. I guess with those data points, I don't really give a damn about.
Yeah, they're in.
We lost to UT.
Yeah, they're in the field.
Well, for sure, they're in.
I'm down to seeding.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't actually know. Like, so the DSR also has them ranked higher than RPI. They're 35 DSR, 51 RPI.
That's pretty accurate, I feel like.
Yeah.
I would have them as a top 25 team, but 35. That's about right.
Yep.
Okay. So. Then you've got a kind of a group of clubs, Kansas State, TCU, UCF, Kansas, Cincinnati, Texas Tech. What do we do with all these? How do we break this?
Have TCU in, Mark. I think if you look at TCU right now, they're 13-14. They're 28 in the RPI. They're trending up, 7-3 in the last 10. And then we got West Virginia at home the final weekend of conference. I think they're going to finish 15-15 going to the conference tournament. Yep. And probably
they're in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had them out last week. We had them out last week. That's interesting.
They swept Baylor.
On the road. Which
They went up. They went up several spots over the last week. I think they were in 39 maybe.
Now they're 28. Mostly it's just the conference record. 13,
yeah, I mean they were 11-14 or 10-14 last week. Yeah. That matters. Yeah.
And the fact that they still have West Virginia at home, you know, is helpful. At least that's at home. So yeah, I'm with you. They're definitely in. I'm worried about Texas Tech though, guys.
I think they're out. They're 53 in the RPI. They're 12-15 in the league. They're 10th place, by the way.
Yeah.
And then they finish at Oklahoma State as their final series. I think they're out. I think they're going to have to go on a crazy run in Arlington and make the tournament.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
They're out.
So these other clubs, I mean, K-State, UCF, Kansas.
K-State, I would still have – Kansas, I'd probably have out.
Is this the order
would have in.
That you would have them, K-State, then UCF?
Yes, actually. Yeah, the problem with Kansas is – so here's the thing. If you're going to have an RPI of 64 – there better be something really good on the bone, and they're just 3-3 against Q1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just not a lot there. I mean, other than a 13-11 league record.
They had an opportunity, I think, against Kansas State. Big series there. I know it was on the road, but they lost 2 out of 3 there, and I feel like they kind of needed to win that series.
Yeah. So are we bubbling these two? That's kind of where I had them.
Yeah, K-State and UCF. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're both – I feel like they're both in decent shape just because the RPIs are in the 30s and their conference records are satisfactory, you know, 500 or thereabouts.
Here's the other thing worth mentioning as well. Kansas does have series losses to UCF and Kansas State.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, they still have work to do. But Cincinnati, at least in entering the discussion somewhat, 67 RPI. They won yet another series over the weekend. They won a series over West Virginia. So that's now 3 straight series wins over UCF, West Virginia. They're at BYU, and then they have a golden opportunity if they win the BYU series the final week. The final week they have UConn at home and then Oklahoma at home for 3. That could be a big final week for Jordan Bishel's club.
Yeah. Yeah, on the radar.
There is a path.
So moving on to the Big East, I mean, it's for me, it's UConn and St. John's.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think Xavier is a little light, but.
Yeah, I mean, 25-22 overall, 29 RPI, 5-11 Q1. Yeah. Especially the fact that they're, a game and a half behind Georgetown in the conference standings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Creighton, our Creighton Blue Jays. They got swept over the weekend by St. John's, and they will not even make the conference tournament at this point. They're 4 games out of the conference tournament.
Wow. At 4-10, that's incredible. Yeah, so they're donezo. St. John's, though, really helped themselves with that sweep. They jumped, I think, from 57 to 44 in the RPI now. So, yeah, feels like, at the moment, a solid 2-bid league.
Yeah, I think they're in. You know, the other thing, too, is they – again, I think we talked about this last week as well – but schedule intent, they won the series opener against Florida, the final 2 games rained out. But they went out and played some teams in non-conference. And, of course, we all know the committee looks for that, especially for these mid-majors.
Yeah.
Xavier has an opportunity, by the way. I think they're at Georgetown this week, if I'm not mistaken. That's, you know, if they can win that series and maybe jump Georgetown in the standings with that good RPI and all the road games and all that stuff, they get a shot. But now we need to see it.
Yeah, it's there for them. Okay. So then we move on to
Big South.
Big South. And last week we had USC Upstate. do we flip it to High Point?
So let's see. Yeah, we had that big series that our friend Joe Healy covered down there in Spartanburg. And High Point did indeed go down there and win 2 out of 3 against the Spartans. So I do think you have to make that change. I mean, the only thing to think about is the Blue Hose, who are actually in first place right now. Presbyterian also has a series win against Upstate last weekend. But they were swept at High Point a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, I think I would go High Point, guys.
I'm with you. Okay. So now it's Big Ten, and it is a jumbled mess. Nebraska would be in. And then there's questions because there's several teams. You have Illinois is actually leading it. You have Indiana and Purdue who are, you know, in contention. You have Maryland who has a good RPI, but in the, while their conference record is improving, it's still, you know, behind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So Illinois, as you mentioned, is in first place. They did lose a series at Maryland just last week. Mm-hmm. They won 2 out of 3 against Ohio State this week and also blew out Indiana State midweek, which is a big win for them. But still just 60 in the RPI, but they are in first place. Last week, we kind of put Purdue in as your placeholder, like first place. They were at the time were tied with Illinois. Purdue lost their series at home to Indiana this past weekend. So the Hoosiers are kind of making their move. Six straight series wins now for Indiana after a slow start, including that big one at Purdue. Now they're at Nebraska and then versus Michigan. So I mean, if they keep on winning, I do think there's a path for Indiana here. They're up to 62 in the RPI, 12-6 in the league, one game behind Illinois at the moment.
Is that who you like as the second team?
I think right now I'd probably just default to Illinois being in first place.
Yeah, Illinois does have the head-to-head against Indiana.
Yeah.
Granted, it was early.
Okay, so and is that bubble or is that in?
I mean, I think it's bubble. It's got to be bubble with that RPI, doesn't it?
Got to be.
And 2-9 Q1 also, not great. Mm-hmm. At least Indiana's 5-6 Q1.
Yeah, it's kind of a placeholder pick, honestly.
Yeah.
I do think if you win the Big Ten regular season,
it should
and the Big
something.
Ten maintains the number 4 RPI league, you're going to get in.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and make that change then. Illinois back in, Purdue out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Big West.
Then we're looking at Big West. You got Santa Barbara and you have
Irvine. Yeah, Irvine was a team, by the way, that we talked about a couple weeks ago as a potential host. They're down to 26 in the RPI now after losing that series to Cal Poly over the weekend. Cal Poly sizzling hot, but they're 79 in the RPI. They're going to have to win that conference. They're going to have to win the regular season to get the auto bid. And I just don't think UCSB is going to lose enough for them to win the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think Irvine, back where they were a week ago when we recorded the Nerdcast, I think they were 26 then also, and they had jumped into the top 20 after winning that midweek game at San Diego, and then they fell right back. So Northridge was the other team we had on the radar. They just got swept at Hawaii. That kind of ruins their chances now. They're down to 87.
Yeah. Okay. So then we look at the Colonial, and this one's interesting to me.
The Coastal Athletic Association, please, Mark.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Very offensive calling it the Colonial.
Yeah, my bad. With Wilmington, with Northeastern, with Charleston.
Yeah. So I think at this point, Wilmington's got to, it didn't feel right taking them out last week. We talked ourselves into it because of the RPI situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're back in.
They had a huge week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're the automatic.
The automatic. I would agree with you. So UNCW replaces CFC as the automatic.
And I think the other two are going to be bumble.
Yeah. I think I would have Charleston ahead of Northeastern. I mean, Northeastern, this past weekend, that was a big blow for them. Charleston is still kind of hanging around there at 54 in the RPI. They're just a half game behind Wilmington in the standings. Northeastern still has a better RPI at 39, but losing 2 out of 3 at A&T was not helpful. Now they have to go to Charleston. That's a really big weekend coming up.
No doubt.
But I think at this point I take Northeastern out. I mean, you could leave them on the bubble. I mean, it's still a 39 RPI, 5-5 Q1, 32-13, overall.
You can put them on the bubble and just see what it looks like at the end.
Yeah, okay. Keep them on the bubble.
All right. So then we go to Conference USA, where you have La Tech and DBU.
Mm-hmm. La Tech would be a bubble team for me right now.
Okay.
After losing that series in New Mexico State over the weekend.
And DBU
probably still have them in, but.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tied with DBU in the standings, so and they had the head-to-head, so I probably would have them in.
Yeah.
But I never say never with a 45 RPI as a mid-major.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
You just never know.
Okay. So then the Horizon in that is
Wright State.
Yep.
They've got it right.
They're one game ahead of the Fighting Norse in the standings now.
Yep. And then the Ivy is Columbia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then what's next?
That's the MAC.
There we go. Had some harmony on that one.
Yeah, that was good, Raj.
So we think in Niagara, or I shouldn't even throw anything out. Let me clear the paint. All right.
Kendall's trying to elbow his way in. What do you got, Raj?
I'm going to elbow my way in. I just want to say that St. Peter's did hit double-digit wins this year.
Hey, now.
My Fighting Peacocks. Although they've lost 14 straight games. So I must have forgotten about that 10th win a while back.
I stick with Niagara. They won five in a row.
We're tied at the top.
Yeah. Fairfield, Niagara, both 16-2.
They play this weekend.
Yeah, Stags coming on as well. They've won seven straight, but Niagara's won six in a row and won that series at Ryder. Mm-hmm. Niagara's 30-12. They're having a really nice year.
They are, yeah. Okay, so Mid-American.
They have Falcons.
Bowling Green.
Yep, 19-5. They're four games ahead of second place, Western Michigan.
Okay. And then Missouri Valley, just Indiana State. I think I have Illinois Chicago on here, but it's light.
Yeah, 73 RPI is not going to do it.
Yeah, it's having a nice year, 30-13, just 0-3 Q1 and a 73 RPI. It's just not going to happen for them.
Okay. Mountain West, still Fresno.
Yeah, this one's interesting. San Diego State just swept Fresno. So now that New Mexico and Fresno are tied atop the standings,
five straight losses for Fresno. San Diego State, by the way, in last place. That's a big setback for Fresno. Mexico took 2 out of 3 at UNLV this past weekend.
Yeah, and swept San Diego State before that.
Yeah. They lost the head-to-head to Fresno at home, but that was back in April. Yeah. Right now, the way things are trending, maybe it is New Mexico. I mean, the way all of a sudden Fresno is trending isn't very encouraging. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, whole body of work though. I think you still probably lean Fresno, but yeesh. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna back off of this because not only is it five straight losses for Fresno, but it is that's 11 losses in the last 13 games.
Yeah,
I'm out. I'm out.
You're just a Lobo timer.
It's Lobo time.
Lobo time. Make that change.
So now the NEC, we still Sacred Hearting it?
Yep.
They're still in first place, game ahead of Long Island and Wagner.
Okay. OVC.
Oh, we have Little Rock and SEMO are tied now at the top.
Yeah. We had Little Rock, still the team that probably.
Yeah, I'd probably lean Little Rock. They have the head-to-head.
Okay. So now we go to the Pac-12.
Arizona.
Arizona.
Oregon State. Oregon. I still would have Utah in. I mean, I get the RPI sucks, but I mean, they're second in the Pac-12. They're getting in.
55 RPI at the moment, which is a qualifier.
Yeah, I mean, California – I might still have I wouldn't have them in and put them down as a bubble team at 14-13 in the league, up to 58 in the RPI. They probably still have work to do, but I'd have them on the sheet.
Yeah, I agree. We'll add Cal here.
And you have Utah in or bubble?
I mean, it's one of those cases where,
And it would just be a strange look to have Oregon State in the hosting mix and have Utah out of the field.
Yeah.
It's not like Utah did anything in non-conference to not get in.
Okay.
So we've got the Patriot League playoffs coming up. Army remains the team to beat. They're facing Bucknell this weekend, the fourth seed. Navy will play Holy Cross. But we'll stick with Army here.
Okay. So moving to the SEC. So we already have A&M, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Georgia, and South Carolina.
Yep.
So the next group, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Florida, LSU, Ole Miss. So I think I would project Alabama to make it.
Yeah. They're 10-14 with a 14 RPI. I mean, with that RPI, all they got to do really is get to 13 wins, and they've got versus LSU and at Auburn. I like their chances to get to at least 13 wins.
Yeah, I think they'll win the LSU series at home this weekend.
So let's talk about Vanderbilt because, you know, they're really struggling here late, and they finish at home against Tennessee and at Kentucky.
Yikes.
It is difficult. You know, they were
non-competitive this weekend in Athens, yeah, guys.
They got donked. They got run ruled twice. I mean, they're 11-13 in the conference. The RPI is what, 26, so mid 20s.
They're in the danger zone.
They are. I think they need, maybe 13 is enough for them. Maybe it's not. All right. The RPI is probably not going to fall any losing, you know, playing those teams, but it would be swept.
Let's say they lose both of those last two series and they kind of limp their way to 13-17 with four straight series losses down the stretch. They don't have the kind of buffer, you know, that Alabama has because Alabama's 14 in the RPI. Now, you know, Vandy could still climb some, but they're not likely to get back into like the top, you know, for what it's worth, the news report says they need to win six of their last seven to get back in like the top 16. So, I mean, you know, they're probably gonna be in the 20s.
Yeah. I think it'll probably kind of hold where it is, mid 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think that, you know, their team obviously plays well in Hoover and they're going to need to, because they lose that play-in game. All of a sudden, you look at their, you know, down the stretch, and it's a problem.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just the bottom line is I think it would behoove them to find a way to win one of these last two series. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm not ready to cut them.
Yeah, me either. I think they're probably – are they bubble or are they just kind of one of those last threes?
I mean – yeah, I guess at this point, given the state of the bubble, it's still probably premature to even put in bubble. But if we're projecting here, I mean, this danger zone is approaching with the schedule that they got left.
Okay.
And the way they're trending.
So with Florida, I mean, it's all about the overall record. They play UCF on Tuesday. That hasn't happened yet.
USF.
USF, right. USF on Tuesday. And then they've got Kentucky at home. And at Georgia, they got to win four of those seven games.
And supposedly they're trying to add two games. They had this, you know, we mentioned earlier, they had the two games get St. John's canceled. Apparently they're trying to add a couple of midweek games.
And that would help their cause. And certainly if they're able to do that and win those games.
Yeah.
do those have to be Division I wins? Like what if they added?
Okay, they have to be so. Division I. So I think
they're currently in discussions with St. Peter's to add a two-game series.
if they're eligible, they're in. If they're not, they're not, right?
I would say they're going to be eligible. Means
bubble or is that?
Yeah, I would keep them status quo here. I mean, I think they find I still think they find a way to win four of these last seven if they didn't add any other games.
Yeah.
just, you know, again, Kentucky series being at home. And then, you know, I mean, Georgia's better than they are, but like, that's not a, you know, unwinnable series.
No. Well, let's talk about the Tigers, your defending national champions. They were given up, right? I didn't see them winning the A&M series. They actually have a shot now.
So I think they lose 2 out of 3 this weekend, but I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and say they sweep Ole Miss the final weekend and get to 13 wins in Baton Rouge.
So, yeah, they're currently 9-15. So they need to go 4-2 down the stretch at Alabama versus Ole Miss to get to I mean, they could sweep Ole Miss at home. Ole Miss is
– That's not including the conference tournament, which will be one game.
Ole Miss also 9-15, so kind of in a similar boat here.
They are.
RPI
and they host A&M just like LSU did last week.
Yeah. Don't love their chances, but maybe. I mean, it is, you know, at Oxford. Maybe it'll be – I don't know. Yeah. And then they have to go to LSU. So I would have them clearly behind LSU in the pecking order.
Agreed.
My
deal is – I don't have enough confidence in LSU's pitching to predict a sweep.
Yeah.
I think that their path is to find a way to win the series at Alabama.
Yeah.
Right. And win 2 out of 3. And Alabama's been good at home. So that's challenging. But I didn't think they'd beat A&M either. So So maybe. And then they're able to take 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean LSU has suddenly won 3 straight series. The other thing that's really interesting about LSU, if you go back to – they had the secret against Vandy, but if you go back to the Tennessee series in Knoxville in mid-April, that's actually a really hard-fought series. I mean, that's 4 straight weekends that LSU's actually pitched pretty well.
Yeah. And here's something that an LSU fan pointed out to me. Of their – how many losses at 6 – what's their SEC record?
9-15.
Of their 15 SEC losses, 13 of those came to teams in the RPI top 25. Mm. So that's brutal, dude. I mean,
I mean, you know, but I mean, also Ole Miss is in the top 25. Florida's in the top 25. You know, Vandy's just outside. Like, what does that really mean in the SEC?
It means that they're really good teams, and that's who you're losing to.
It means that you have a bunch of mediocre teams with inflated RPIs also.
Yeah, LSU, like I felt pretty good about LSU after the first 2 games of the weekend, and they go out in the final game and get smoked. So I'm like, oh, well, now I have no idea what to expect going into Tuscaloosa. Yeah.
I'm on the wait-and-see train with LSU. I mean, there's a path. We've talked about it. They helped themselves this weekend, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would put them on the sheet just to see if there's room for them.
Yeah, I mean, the other question would be if they only have 12 wins, but they've won – you know, 4 of their last 5 series, and then they go to Hoover and they, you know, they don't lose the first game, right? Then there's potentially a path that way.
Yep. But that would also require, you know, like let's say they win the play-in game, then they still have to win another game, really.
Against good teams. Well, right. Or over-inflated teams, perhaps.
Well, some of them are. clearly, like, if again, is Ole Miss the 25th best team in the country? They're 25-22 overall.
I would agree with you there. But you know, some of these other ones, like,
I mean, there obviously are a lot of really good teams in the league. I'm just saying, but just because, like, that top 25 record to me is a little misleading.
Well, they hadn't played
in
the case Ole Miss
of, well, that's, and right. That's certainly true. Yeah.
So really, Florida would be the one you would have an issue with, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now. So right now, LSU, if Hoover was today, they would play 1-2. They'd play Georgia or South Carolina in the first game.
Yeah.
If Hoover started today. So not a cakewalk.
Yeah, a host team.
Yep.
Okay. So then we move to the SoCon. Still Samford.
Yeah, I mean they're playing at Greensboro this weekend, by the way. Greensboro has got 9 straight wins, 13-5 in the league. They actually have a better RPI than Samford, number 59. Caleb Cozart's having a monster year, even bigger year than Jacob Cozart, his brother. Neat story. Walt Villa may be on the case on that one. but Greensboro is in the mix. I mean, East Tennessee State, you know, game and a half back, 56 RPI. It's you know, right now it feels like RPI is within striking range, but it's going to be a one bid league ultimately.
Yeah.
I'm okay sticking with Samford as the team we've had.
Yeah. They took two.
It is worth mentioning that UNCG does have Samford at home this weekend.
Yeah. As I was just saying, for those of you who've been listening along with the show, indeed. However, it's, you know, it just comes down to who you think is going to win the automatic. And so.
Okay. So the Southland, I know Lamar kind of stumbled a little bit. Are we still feeling the Cardinal?
Yeah. It does feel like their at-large bid now is probably gone. I mean, they're down. Were they 45 last week? So they're down they're down 19 spots from last. Mm-hmm.
They lost to Rice in midweek, and that torpedoed their RPI. So Rice is the Cal Poly of the South, or the RPI killer.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But it's still Lamar, just a one bid league, no more at large possibility.
And then the SWAC, we've had Florida A&M for a while. Any change there?
So they did stub their toe this past weekend. Bethune, they lost 2-3 at home to Bethune-Cookman, who's just one game back. Bethune had a bad week the week before at losing a series at Alabama A&M, who's 9-34. I think I stick with the Rattlers.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. So then we move on to the Summit, which is Aaron's second favorite conference.
Guys,
Omaha.
So yeah,
we don't need to go any deeper than this. Fine. Although Omaha did lose a series to ORU, who, by the way, just for Aaron, their updated RPI is 279.
With a bullet.
They've won six of the last 10 games, guys. They're now
here. They come.
They're no longer solo last place. They moved up to fifth.
I'm gonna laugh when these guys get.
They're gonna win the automatic.
They should
win. Well, no, they win the automatic and then win a regional. Win like
that would be wild. They clearly, you know, again, a team that was in Omaha last year in the College World Series. They have the most talent.
Were they in Omaha last year?
Yeah, College World Series team. they you know, certainly they have the talent to make a run here. It's just like, the RPI is just bizarre with them. But
Aaron is no longer on Ryan Fulmar's Christmas card list.
I mean, I'm sure he's disappointed in the season that they've had more than I am.
Correct.
But yeah, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, Omaha's 291 in the RPI. 291.
I would just go to Omaha.
Like St. Thomas not eligible. Oh, they're below 500.
They're not eligible.
Yeah.
They're not eligible.
There's no team in this league.
Do you want to go to Oral Roberts just because it's a fun story?
There's no team in this league that's eligible for the postseason that's less than eight games under 500.
And they get to play for a title.
I mean,
worst league in the history of sports.
Gosh, it's so bad. Disgraceful.
All right, let's move on to the Sun Belt.
Like okay. Gosh, the best winning percentage of any team in this league, not counting St. Thomas, who's not eligible.
Can I
415? Who did we pick? Did you guys make a pick?
Omaha.
Omaha.
Sure, that's fine. Next.
Can look at the Sun Belt. Coastal is in the danger zone. They've lost eight straight games. They're down the eighth place in the league, and they're 11-13 in the league. Still have a pretty good RPI at 32. But now just 2-7 against Q1. They're 1-9 their last 10. And they finish with Georgia State at home and at Marshall. So they should finish actually pretty strong enough to get in. But it's not as clear cut as it was once. I mean, this is a team that was a host a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Not great, Bob. Don't
Troy Surging.
They're in at the moment, they're I guess because of 47 RPI, it's not like a slam dunk, but I like where they're at. I mean, obviously they're playing well. Won a big series against Louisiana. I do think the Cajuns kind of saved themselves by winning, finding a way to win that finale, keeping them two games up on Troy in the standings. You know, 50 RPI. I think even with a 50 RPI, if they win the regular season, I think they're in. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah, Louisiana is kind of like the Utah of the South. Like, if as long as they finish in those top two or win that league, they're going to get in, I think.
Many people are saying Louisiana is the Utah of the South. That is
I had a nickel for every time I've heard that.
Oh, good stuff.
Salt Lake City does look a lot like Lafayette.
Yeah,
so.
they're twinsies.
Park City reminds me a lot of Opelousas. You know?
Yeah. Hey, James Madison, guys, I would put ahead of Coastal in my order. James Madison's 13-11 with a 37 RPI. They're two games ahead of Coastal.
Ahead of Coastal?
I would. They're two games ahead of Coastal in the standings now. RPIs are comparable. They lost two out of three but it was at Coastal, so that's almost a wash.
They also haven't lost eight straight games.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't.
They also don't have the committee chairman as their
That's true.
Athletic director.
It does feel highly unlikely that.
Yeah, that's why we put the asterisk beside them.
Yeah, especially
the chair.
And Gary Gilmore's
last season. Year, exactly. Like, yeah. I can't. It's they would have to really, really, gosh, melt down. But, I mean, Coastal, boy, are they melting down. I mean,
yeah, it's bad.
Gosh, eight straight losses. So it's this remaining schedule for Coastal: UNCG at home midweek, then it's Georgia State at home.
Hey, by the way, since you did it to me, I just went over that like 3 minutes ago.
You know what? Part of me was worried that you had just done that, but I had definitely tuned you out.
Did that. Thank you, Aaron.
All right, we're good then.
At least someone else did it.
We're kind of chippy today. I kind of like this.
No, I was like looking at some different numbers and stuff while you were talking about the Sanford schedule earlier. Sure, that's what he was probably doing as well.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Man, you know what? You owed me that. It's been about 5 years since I've done that.
So I'm now still beating you and doing that thing like 8-1.
Yeah, at least. All right, so. But you're right. I mean, the committee factor goes in Coastal's favor. The remaining schedule is manageable. I guess we'll keep them in. JMU needs to be on the sheet, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I thought was interesting about last weekend is, you know, Southern Miss is still in a pretty good spot. But, like, the fact that they, you know, swept over the weekend, they're in really good shape now.
I think Southern's off the bubble. I think
they're
in at this point.
Agreed, Mark.
I would have Coastal closer to the bubble than Southern Miss.
No question.
Yeah, and Southern Miss also finishes the year at Arkansas State and Texas State at home, so you got to figure they're going to finish strong.
Yeah.
They're another eyeball test team too. Like I think they're going to rank well with the RAC, the Regional Advisory Committee.
Okay.
So I like their top two arms, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, Billy Oldham's been red hot.
And Maza's, I mean, he's a dude.
He's got the best stuff. The other team to keep an eye on is Georgia Southern. They're 15-9 now. They won six in a row, but it's 70 RPIs and 2-8 Q1. But
they have their opportunity because they play the Cajuns this weekend. So you win that series and things change for them.
But it is a home series, so it won't be a huge RPI boost, you wouldn't think.
Agree. All right. So WCC, it's San Diego, and they are in comfortably.
Yeah. Still a comfortable at-large team if they don't win the automatic with a 31 RPI, 17-4 in the league, 33-13 overall. Good stuff there.
Okay. And then WAC, we're still going Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah, and now they're creating some separation here. They won seven in a row. 19-5 in the WAC is four games better than the three teams tied for second place. So one bid league, however, just an 89 RPI for the Lopes.
Okay, so that is our field. We are at 69 teams, right? Yep. So big bubble.
Yeah. We were a little generous with some of our inclusions.
Yep.
I think
also I'm short some two seeds. So take a peek real quick and see. I need three of these threes to bump to twos.
Interesting. we are a little light. I kind of like Troy as a two. I know the RPI isn't quite there.
It's certainly trending the right direction.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Troy as a two. Send him as a two to a really high national.
You've got UConn in the consideration, maybe. Yeah.
We can do that.
I mean, UNCW, maybe.
Texas
is for the 51 RPI and all those Q4 losses, maybe.
Yeah, they've
done some good stuff.
It's also one of those things, if you look at them in the conference standings, you're like, yeah, they're not a three seed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tied with Oklahoma State, who is still in the mix for a host site.
Well, I mean, they could be a really low two seed. And do we have a really high one seed that maybe we could do a sexy matchup with? I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing. I'm sure the committee wouldn't think of that.
Aggie's horns could materialize. I could see that.
A few people would care about that one.
Yeah, a few people.
Just one or two.
Just a couple.
I mean, I guess Texas.
I would say Texas for sure.
That's my vote. Okay. Let's make it so.
Utah? I mean, yeah, Utah, the RPI is an issue. Vanderbilt, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Still?
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like where you're at, Mark, here, like looking at those names.
Texas is fine. All right, okay. So we got to cut five teams.
Five.
Candidates to cut include.
Cal and Northeastern would be top of mind for me.
Let's move these guys out of the way.
Let's see here.
I think Cal's trending the right direction. I think they still have some work to do.
I agree on Northeastern being cut at this point. My faith is rattled.
They can probably flip with Charleston next week if they win that series down in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. Or they end up a three-bid league again. I would take Cal off, though. I think Cal still has some work to do. That's an easy one to trim off, especially in a year that we think the Pac-12 is historically average.
Right. So are there teams here that you absolutely feel should be in? So let's trim it from the top. Do you feel like Florida? Do you feel like James Madison? Do you feel Charleston, Illinois?
I feel pretty good about Florida.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so I'm going to put them in. And that we're still need to cut three, but
JMU would come off for me, I think.
I would have them ahead of Coastal.
I think I would. I think I would. Like
you
I
would?
Said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've lost eight in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the politics of it, but gosh, Coastal's really falling apart. So, did we backtrack a minute here? So, we did cut Cal, correct?
Yeah, I moved them off to the side there, and I'm good with that. I feel like they're light. So what about one of these ACC teams here? We felt like Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Louisville was our pecking order. And while Louisville's trending up, are they a week away?
I think they're probably still a week away. I think. Yeah. Boy,
they win that series in North Carolina, they're in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The pathway is there.
Pathway is there. So, yeah, we can probably for now cut them.
Okay, we still need two more. I mean,
there's Aaron, LSU have you seen sitting out there. This year?
I have not seen them. I know we've our guys in the Midwest.
Are you going to see them this weekend? You think?
I hope to get over there if I can.
Just kind of curious. TBD.
Yeah, TBD. Yeah. I know Eric Sorensen randomly is going to be in town. He's going to get eyes on them. So
okay, good.
Good deal. So the other thoughts here. I mean, Are we feeling LSU is going to get those wins?
For me, I'm still in wait and see mode on them. I think this is too early to move them back in.
Yep, I'm good with that.
So it's one more team.
So the other one here, I think Law takes in for me.
I think they're one of these that isn't going to be cut.
Yeah, no, I don't have. I'm not too concerned about them right now.
So we still one over.
So you've got like a UCF. I mean, I guess we'll stick with that. Illinois is the Big Ten placeholder, even though it's a weird situation there. You got College of Charleston.
Yeah, UCF is a tough one for me because if you look at their metrics, they're not very good. But, I mean, their metrics are almost identical to TCU.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to have TCU in and them out. Yeah. So we have one spot left to trim. It seems to me like it's going to have to be Coastal or JMU.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just, again, like, oof. I mean, make Coastal prove something on the field right now, guys. You know?
Here's what I will say about Coastal.
Mm-hmm.
For the third time in the podcast, they do finish with Georgia State at home. And Marshall on the road.
Yeah.
They're probably going to finish strong against those two teams. Although Georgia State's pesky.
Yeah, they are.
So James Madison, 4-7 against Quad 1. Coastal, 2-9.
Yeah.
You expand that to 1-2. It's 8-14 versus 10-17.
So
that part's kind of comparable. And JMU's two games up in the standings. Coastal has a head-to-head.
Yeah. Coastal's in a three-game tie for eighth. So
that's just it's tough.
Three-team tie, yeah.
They probably would bounce back and finish strong, but boy, they're just in a rough spot.
If you reverse the names on the jerseys and keep the resumes the same.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. But you can't do that, can you?
I don't know. Can you?
Maybe we should. I mean, that's our job, right?
Biases, right? So, especially Aaron. He's known to be biased.
Yeah, of course. He has it right behind him on the wall over there somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Coastal just does not have a postseason resume right now. Maybe they will in 2 weeks' time.
And that's kind of Kendall's point, that in 2 weeks it's going to look different, and then the politics are going to do what politics do, and they're going to be one of the last.
The conference record is their issue, and I think the conference record will take care of itself.
The Q1 wins also their issue, but you're right. The biggest issue is the fact that they're tied for eighth right now.
And that they've lost eight games in a row.
And they've lost eight games in a row.
I think I would put Coastal on that.
Yeah.
I think I would have Coastal ahead of JMU, but they'd be like by a hair. And like,
well, is there somebody else then, right? That you want to kick instead? Because these were our last.
It would be like UCF.
Yeah, I just feel like UCF's got the stronger resume than either of them.
Yeah.
Right, 11-12. In the Big 12. I mean, they're also tied for, they're ninth place.
These are our last three we're comparing here. These guys are safe.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, I mean, my only concern on Charleston, I think I brought this up last week. My only concern on Charleston is, hold on, let me bring that number up again. Their non-conference strength of schedule was 200. Mm. That's just really – that's extremely poor for a mid-major.
But, yeah, I mean, if you look at it traditionally, you know, and this is where we sometimes get bogged down, is the RPI tends to carry the day here, and non-conference strength of schedule carries the day, and that does not work in Charleston's favor.
Boy, it's really just, again, those three games against – 11-35 Youngstown State that dragged them down. Because otherwise, it's like they played Nebraska. You know, they played Penn, who was good last year and is not terrible. I mean, Marshall, I guess, not helping them. But, I mean, like, it doesn't – Wofford's a good series. Like, it's not like they played that many bad games. Yeah. Just those three games just have a disproportionate effect.
Well, if you are a mid-major and your RPI is, you know, 50, you better have something else.
This is another case where DSR likes them a lot more. They're 26 in the DSR. That's 28 spots higher than they are in the RPI. Where are they in the KPI, Kendall, Charleston?
Let me look. I don't see them in here. Hold on. They are. Well, I'm still going down, and I don't see them. That's not good for old Charleston.
The more we think about this, the more I'm talking myself into Charleston.
60. There's 60 in the KPI.
Where's Coastal?
By the way, there's 60 in the KPI. Northeastern is 59 in the KPI.
Yeah, Northeastern also lower in the DSR. They're 60 in the DSR, just 39 RPI.
Coastal is 16 in the KPI.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
And Coastal's 51 in the DSR, which again feels more like where they belong. Like that feels like where they belong is 51 when the DSR has them.
Yeah. Yeah, KPI, by the way, has Texas 23.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
so again, let me see where James Madison, by the way, 42 in the KPI. So maybe it's James Madison and Coastal in. And
I still think, though, that like right now, if you're looking to reward the teams who are deserving, like clearly Charleston's more deserving than Coastal.
Is that what they do?
No.
So if you look at the committee, what they've done, everything that's bold is an automatic. So just look at the ones that are not in bold. Yeah. Those are at-larges. Do you see anybody with a 50?
No.
And then we look at 22. Do you see anybody? Grand Canyon, that was the one. We missed that pick, but their non-conference strength of schedule was through the roof, right? It was really good.
Yeah.
And that's what got them the mark. Charleston doesn't have that. So then we can continue to go back through here. UCSB, the whole West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Maryland. Oh, this was the COVID stuff. So
we're looking at, if you're listening on the pod, audio only. Yeah, we're looking at past season. 2021 was, the weird COVID year. That's a kind of an outlier.
So we look at 29. You had TCU, but they had some other things, right?
59 year. Florida State got in with a 50 that year.
Mm-hmm.
That was somebody's last season. I can't remember exactly the details there.
Yeah, some awesome coach.
So, yeah, I mean, your point is certainly, especially for these mid-majors, like I guess it has happened for mid-majors, but they've been ones out west. I don't think there's much precedent for teams in the Southeast around 50. Let's look at the remaining schedule for Charleston. They've got Northeastern at home, and they're at Elon. They also have a midweek game at Duke, which will matter on May 14th. Needs report for Charleston. Says to get in the top 45, they need to win 7 out of their last 8. So they're likely to probably finish, you would think, around 50 or roughly where they are.
Yeah.
Heading into the conference tournament. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, maybe CAA winds up as one bid league.
Or somebody besides Wilmington wins the automatic.
And sure, sure.
It ends up that way. But that would be my vote, guys. And it's not my personal preference. It's based on history.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to go, if you ever want to check out the KPI, go to factorsports.com, FAKTOR sports.com. Some actually really interesting figures. San Diego 56, La Tech 58. We mentioned, Charleston a minute ago, St. John's 64, Utah 66. So really interesting.
All right, so we've added James Madison back in. Illinois is in for Purdue. TCU is in for Texas Tech. I guess James Madison would be in for Northeastern. And we've got UNCW replacing Charleston as the automatic qualifier. So that's how we the CAA becomes a one bid league. Was two last week. The two other automatic qualifier changes: High Point replaces Upstate, and New Mexico replaces Fresno. So those are your changes from last week. It feels a little sloppy right now. I will say this: I think the Sun Belt, as we've talked about a lot, I think it's a very good league. I think it's clearly a top five conference. Five Sun Belt teams feels unlikely when the dust settles. And, you know, I agree with you that it just feels like Coastal's, if they just can manage not to lose to end the season on a 15 game losing streak, then maybe, you know, they probably will get in. But boy, they sure don't deserve it right now. You know, they got to show me something down the stretch, and JMU feels a little shaky too, but you know, right now, I have them ahead of Coastal in my pecking order. So I don't know how you can't make a case for Coastal and not JMU. I can't see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say keep an eye on LSU and Louisville over the next week. I mean, if LSU wins that series at Alabama, they're probably finding their way in. And then Louisville, if they win that series against North Carolina, they would be in. Now, they may knock out an ACC team, but that's two spots that would be filled next week that they're not in right now.
I agree. So with that, guys, that looks like the field. There's obviously so much to play for as we head down the last, you know, 3 weeks or so. A lot of bubble teams, a lot of spots still up for grabs, a lot of hosting still up for grabs. So any final thoughts before we adjourn?
Not for me, guys. This was a little sloppy this week. You know, it just we're all got a lot going on. But as usual, I think we arrived at a satisfactory feel of 64 projection.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just the battle for those final few host spots. I mean, Georgia moves in this week. You know, how will they fare the final couple of weekends? You know, we talked about South Carolina. They have a couple of big weekends coming up. And, of course, you know, if you look at, you know, Oregon State, we didn't have Oregon State as a top 16. You know, how would the committee – view the Beavers as of today? We obviously, from a human standpoint, view them very well, but metric wise and where they stand in the Pac-12, there's reason to poke holes in their resume. So,
and they're flawed too.
The Beavers look down the stretch,
and they're flawed too. I mean, you know, there's like almost everybody, you know, the pitching, the bullpen in particular is an issue, and it's just like we like their position players a lot, but I mean, there's a reason they're in third place, you know. I mean, there just aren't very many elite teams right now that really feel like they're truly complete across the board. And so anyway, but if nobody's elite, then, you know, maybe that all just kind of cancels itself out.
Well, good stuff, guys. And with that, we'll see you next week.
The D1 Baseball Podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.